This is Vito Churko from CST Radio's Churko & Company. This week, I had the chance to sit down and chat with UDM alum Gerald Smith about a variety of topics, including his current role with Comcast, his past work with Detroit Public Television, and the ways in which the city of Detroit can be improved upon and further reinvigorated in the future.
So it was a 70 to 74 stretch that I did my undergraduate work and received a degree, an AB degree in history, honor student. Student activist, was a president of a group called the Black Student Coalition, and this group was formed to address the issues of the war against Vietnam. At that particular time, there was racism on campus. There was a lot of
Civil rights, right, was a major issue and
huge at that time.
The riots happened before you started here on campus, but you probably became accustomed to it because of being around during that era.
No doubt about it. And this university was, in some ways, was kind of separated from that, although it was right in the city. But we saw some of the same issues, Vito, on this campus as we did in the larger community. So we said, you know what? You know, we're going to deal with this as a part of this community. So we did not only organize students, black and white, in this effort, but we also involved the surrounding community residents because this university, as we put it, was a part of this community and not an island within the community. So we had 10 or 15 demands. We presented to the president of the university at that time, Father Malcolm Caron, who was a very good friend of mine, by the way. He ended up kicking me out of school, but that's another story. And then we ended up getting back in. But all the students that were considered leaders at that time were all honor students. And we all felt the need and desire to address some of these issues on campus as we had in the larger community. So, for example, painting that Madonna statue black. We did some disarray of the library to kind of disrupt activities of the university. And one day, Vito, we actually closed the university down. We sat in the middle of Florence and Livernois with signs and banners saying stop the war, stop racism on campus. And I have some photos I'm going to share with you.
Oh, thank you.
At some point in time, some brochures kind of reflect that. But it was a tumultuous time at that time. You just mentioned the war and the racial strife and the civil unrest that happened here in the city was indicative of the times in which we were going through back in the early 70s as well.
Now, because of that civil unrest and that racial strife and whatnot, were there actually separate organizations, too, for blacks and whites than on campus at that time at U of D when you were a student?
Certainly.
So people were separated based on race then?
They were, and you know what? It was institutionalized because of the way the university was organized and structured that way. But there were students, Vito, that looked beyond that and said, we're going to form our own structures. We're going to form our own organization and coalitions. And that's the key thing. It was coalition building in which you bring different people, different groups of people together, whether it's, racially or gender-wise or whatever, bring them all together. And there was some common cause that we certainly met around that gave us the impetus to move in the way that we did. One is that war in Vietnam. I mean, no one wanted war. At that time, we had a ROTC on campus, and they were recruiting people to go to the war. Stop it. You know, so one of our major demands, get rid of ROTC on the campus, stop the war, stop the killing.
And I'll talk about your current role now as the senior manager of external affairs for Comcast in Michigan. What does that exactly entail?
Good question. I try to figure that out myself every day when I'm doing 1,000 different things.
There's a lot
capacity
to it, right?
Yeah, it is. I oversee government relations, community investment, public policy in 83 communities in Southeast Michigan. That essentially means that I negotiate franchise agreements for different cities and communities. I also organize community events. I also weigh in on public policy that affects the cable industry. I also deal with customer service issues as well, oversee many of the concerns that our customers might have. So it's an all-encompassing position.
And what's your goal then of reaching a larger audience with the real news, telling the truth and telling the true story behind all these different aspects of society nowadays?
You know, for me, it's staying in close touch with the grassroots in this community, wherever that community is. I want to be there where they are and interpreting exactly what their feelings are. And my spin is their spin. You know, if I'm willing to articulate, you know, what their experiences are in a holistic way, in a truthful way, in a compelling way, then I think I've done my job.
Now, what's your goal right now, primary goal for community outreach and your role with Comcast?
My goal is to make sure that companies and corporations like Comcast give back, continue to give back to the community, which, you know, they certainly, you know, gain a profit from. And for companies like Comcast to remain partners in the community. I mean, it's very important that companies really give back and become accountable to the community.
For their mistakes, right, as well.
And you know what? Not only their mistakes, but some of the triumphs. I mean, we should celebrate as much as we do, find fault. So I think there's a balance there that we need to create. But I think for my goal is to make sure that companies like Comcast really have a true commitment to community investment, not community outreach, but community investment in which you expend resources to increase the quality of life in the communities in which they do business.
How about growing the city of Detroit further economically and getting more and more people to come back to the city, to live in the city, actually? How can that be accomplished, and what are you trying to do in your role?
It's happening right now. I think the mayor, Mayor Duggan, is doing a wonderful job. Less than a year on the job, he's made some revolutionary changes right now. He's built coalitions with people, authorities, the Regional Water Authority, what he's been able to do with the Public Lighting Authority. I mean, some things, some very basic essential services, Vito. But let me say this to you. In order to make sure that we get a regentrification of people back into the city, it's going to require a safe city. That means that there has to be a holistic approach with respect to police and community working together, not as adversaries but as partners. There has to be some impetus given towards education. This educational system in the city will have to improve dramatically in order to reach reach people and families, younger families. If you want to recruit them back into this, you've got to have a great educational system, and you as well as provide long-lasting, sustainable jobs. Those three.
How can that be done, those three things then that you just talked about?
One, we have to continue to try to diversify the economy. It can no longer be a one-industry economy. It's been an automotive economy for time immemorial. And it's beginning to happen slowly with high-tech industries moving into the area and service tech. There has to be a way in which we educate the future of our children will have to be predicated upon more than just doing a K-12 graduate. There has to be some kind of a training along the way. A lot of children are not academically inclined, so what do? You just throw them away? I mean, they fall through the cracks. There has to be a way in which you demonstrate to them that there are alternatives to the basic K-12. It could be all kinds of different kind of industrial training. There's a variety of ways to do that, computer-based training. That's one thing.
And then better technology, right, as well for these students.
No doubt about
it. At an early age.
I'm working with a project. That's a good point. I'm working with a project right now called Internet Essentials, in which we are taking low-income families and providing $10 a month Internet service from K-12. So students will have the ability to learn how to work the Internet. But more than that, the families. Because if you don't know how to use this technology, you're going to be left behind. And that's going to create a tremendous problem. Because right now we've discovered that in certain urban communities, up to 70% of the people don't have Internet service. I'm not talking about iPhone. I'm talking about
a regular computer, right?
Computer,
desktop or a laptop.
Laptop. Exactly, because what we've discovered, you cannot do a 500-page, 500-word essay, Vito, with your thumbs. You're going to need a computer, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So what we're trying to do with this program, to your point, is to educate and provide people with the basic rudimentary skills in order to work the Internet. So if you get that done and get that accomplished, move it to the next phase, they'll be more prepared for education, a higher form of education, whether it's college, whether it's building and trades, whatever it is, they're prepared on the technology front to be able to handle that. So I think in that age, we got to get our people, whether they're here in the suburbs, in the rural communities, technologically prepared to order to meet the challenges of the
more savvy at a young age then, too.
No doubt about it. And to do that, the younger, the better. And to get the parents, too, because a lot of these parents, there's an attendee fear on the part of the parents, too, that because they don't know, they pass that fear along to the children. Well, I don't want to deal with that because I don't want to dip the Internet.
So really it starts at home with the parents then, right?
Yes. And that's where people learn their fundamental social graces from is from home. So you've got to get the parents involved, too. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Mr. Smith, thank you very much for all your time today here on UDMCST Radio.
It's good to be back home.
It's great to have you here, too. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Vito. I appreciate you having me here.